wife, and she likes it for a little while. So, you know, we'll see how this goes. All right. Take your Bibles. Go with me, if you would, to Galatians chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2. I do pray that you've had a great Christmas season with family and friends, and that the Lord has blessed you abundantly. I want to finish out our year here in this text in Galatians, and we'll transition next Sunday morning. We'll have our theme verse for 2024. I'm excited about our theme for the coming year. We'll have calendars and different ways to connect you to that theme, and I hope encourage your heart throughout the year. It just seems as though everything's ripe for the Lord's return. It just seems as though everything is ripe. I've heard a great number of men that have preached, they believe that we're living in the last of the last days. There's nothing standing in the way of the Lord's return. We can say with John the Revelator, Lord Jesus, come quickly. I look forward to being under the reign of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and He will rule in righteousness. Don't you get a little bit fed up that we just don't have a lot of character in the arena of those that are legislating and giving judgment on different things? There just doesn't seem to be a ton of character. And it seems like every day I just read crazier and crazier things. In recent days, I believe it was David Jeremiah who wrote a book and said, Things I Never Thought I'd See, or something along that line. I never thought I'd see the day, or things I never thought I'd see. And it's unfolding before our eyes. And so I look at the world, and while I don't know the hour and the day that the Lord will return, it seems like everything's ripe for it. And we surely look forward to the day that Jesus will come back. I hope that you're ready for that. I hope that you're ready for the Lord to return. Sadly, there will be millions left behind. And if you don't yet know the Lord, and everyone else in your family does know the Lord, then you'll be left behind. And I pray that you know Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, and that you have met Him. And if you have not, then today is the day. Galatians chapter number 2, are you there? Galatians chapter number 2, this is, in our world today, we face controversies. And so it's not new to us to face a controversy here in our churches and in America or around the globe, but there are things that we all face and deal with. I think this is an appropriate message to end our year on, because I believe that the themes of what I'm going to share with you this morning would be great for us to carry forward into the coming year, and to have a, if it not be your lifestyle to this point, that it would become your lifestyle. With the things that I'll share this morning. We started into this back at the beginning of December, and if you were not here or not able to hear the message, I dealt with the matter of biblical legalism, and I addressed that. Then we had 3 weeks of Christmas messages, but if you've not been here or mindful of that, I'd encourage you to go to that message, because that was kind of the introduction to this message. Galatians chapter 2, read with me, if you would, in verse number 1. Then 14 years after I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas and took Titus with me also, I went up by revelation and communicated unto them the gospel which I preached among the Gentiles, but privately to them which are of reputation, lest by any means I should run or had run in vain. But neither Titus, who was with me, being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised, and that because of false brethren, unawares brought in, who came in privately to spy out our liberty which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage, to whom we gave place by subjection, no, not for an hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you. But of these who seem to be somewhat, whatsoever they were, it maketh no matter to me, God accepteth no man's person, for they who seemed to be somewhat in conference added nothing to me. But contrariwise, when they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed unto me as the gospel of the circumcision was committed unto Peter, or was unto Peter, for he that wrought effectually in Peter to the apostleship of the circumcision, the same was mighty in me toward the Gentiles. Basically, it's saying this. Acts chapter 1 through 12, Peter is the focus, and the gospel is being taken to the Jews. Acts chapter 13, through the end of the book of Acts, we find the apostle Paul taking the gospel to the Gentiles, Peter to the circumcision or the Jews, the Apostle Paul to that which were uncircumcised or the Gentiles. That's the equivalence there. Verse number 9. And when James, Cephas, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given unto me, they gave to me and Barnabas the right hands of fellowship, that he should go unto the heathen, and that they unto the circumcision. Only they would that we should remember the poor, the same which I also was forward to do. But when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to the face, because he was to be blamed. For before that, certain came from James, he did eat with the Gentiles, but when they were come, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing them which were of the circumcision, or those that were Jews. And the other Jews dissembled likewise with him, insomuch that Barnabas also was carried away with their dissimulation. Peter's influence affected other people around him. But when I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, I said unto Peter before them all, If thou being a Jew livest after the manner of Gentiles, and not as do the Jews, why compellest thou the Gentiles to live as do the Jews? We who are Jews by nature and not sinners of the Gentiles, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Again, by simple review, the Apostle Paul takes the gospel, goes into the regions beyond, gives the gospel, and Gentiles get saved. Then this group of Jews come in and say, well, that's great that you've been saved and that you follow Jesus Christ, but now you need to add to that grace all these works of the law in order to really be saved. And so if you hold your finger here in Galatians chapter 2 and turn back with me to Acts chapter number 15, Acts chapter 15, go back there with me rapidly, and I just want to highlight this chapter. It's not my purpose to take time to read the whole chapter, but I want to highlight it so that you partner together these two chapters of the Bible. Galatians chapter 2 is directly referring back to Acts chapter 15. Well, a little bit of history. In Acts chapter 13, the church at Antioch of Syria is burdened to reach the lost, go into all the world and reach the gospel, or preach the gospel to every creature. The church at Antioch of Syria is burdened to do just that. They called out of themselves Barnabas and Saul. God set them apart for the ministry, and that local church sent them out. They go over to Cyprus. Barnabas is from Cyprus. Barnabas owns land in Cyprus. His home area is Cyprus, and they preach the gospel across the island of Cyprus. Then they go from Cyprus up into Asia Minor, and they begin in kind of a fishhook format to preach the gospel to city after city after city after city. People get saved. They come back that same route, back to Cyprus. They go back, and we find the end of that missionary journey, that first missionary journey, in the end of the book of, or in the end of chapter 14 in the book of Acts. In chapter 15, you see the effects of these Judaizers that are now kind of infiltrating other churches and other locations, because wolves always creep in. And the Bible says that this came to a point where they said, we've got to settle this once and for all. If the Gentiles have really become believers and they really have to add all these works of the law, then we need to settle this. Are you saved by grace? Do you receive the Holy Spirit by grace? We're going to settle this once and for all. And so the Apostle Paul goes back to Jerusalem, and they have a meeting. And they talk this out in Acts chapter 15. Look there quickly. Certain men which came down from Judea taught the brethren and said, Except ye be circumcised after the manner of Moses, ye cannot be saved. Boy, that, my friend, is the actual definition of legalism. Putting an onus on a person and saying, you must do this in order to have eternal life. And it is moving salvation of being from grace to now being of some kind of work. Verse number 2, When therefore Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and disputation with them, they determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain of them should go up to Jerusalem unto the apostles and elders about this question. Let's settle it once and for all. Okay, what do we do to settle the question that's come up when we don't have this completed canon of Scripture? What do? We don't yet have the epistles. We don't yet have the books written by Paul. We don't have the books written by Peter. We don't have the books. All these things have not yet been recorded. So what do? Well, let's go and let's have a meeting with those that were trained by the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's go to the apostles and let's see. And let's bring in this new group of missionary, of the missionary force, Paul and Barnabas, and let's listen to what's taking place as the gospel is spreading now outside of Jerusalem. Let's solve this. Now, what do today? Do we convene a meeting from headquarters? Do we go down to some city in the south? Do we go to some city in the Midwest and we get to the headquarters and we find out and we say, okay, guys, what's our stand on this going to be? Well, here's what we do here at FBT. We are an independent church. And we believe that the Bible is our only rule of faith and practice. So in our church, we have pastors, we have deacons, we have leadership men, we have individuals that give themselves. And if some controversy came up and we said, hey, we're going to search the Scriptures and see if we can solve this, then we go directly to the Word of God that's been completed. There's no other additions to this book. We have it in totality. But in this stage, we don't have the Word of God, so they have a meeting at Jerusalem, and it involves the apostles, the individuals that are directly trained by the Lord Jesus Christ. And here's the question. Can the Gentiles truly be saved if they're not following the Judaic law? And we find back in, so that's Acts chapter 15. If you want to read that chapter, you can go down through that whole chapter and find out how it all turns out. I'm going to speak on it in just a few moments. But here in Galatians chapter 2, did you see it right there early on? But neither Titus, who was with me, being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised. So here's the ultimate question. Is Titus saved? Is Titus saved? The Judaizers are coming in and they're saying, no, Titus is not saved because he's not yet followed the Judaic law. The Apostle Paul is saying, no, guys, you've got this all wrong. We are saved by grace through faith, period. If you add any works to it, it's no longer grace. And if it's all of grace, it cannot involve any kind of work. And so they say, we're going to solve this problem. Well, the Apostle Paul gives us a great format for how we would address matters and really understanding principles from the Scriptures. And so I want to help you with five quick things. We'll move pretty quickly through each of these. I think they're self-explanatory. But when controversy arises, how do I settle it? Now, I can't say for sure that I agree with everything that you believe about the Word of God. I've given you some controversies that come up now and again, and you might disagree with where I land on that controversy. Okay, that's fine. But we need to make sure we agree on the virgin birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to make sure we agree on the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is God. He's not a God. He's not another God. He didn't become God. He's not the created one. He's not the one that is the brother of Satan. No, Jesus Christ is God himself. That is absolutely certain. We need to agree on the fact that the Bible is inspired and given to us from holy men of God through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. We need to agree on that. We've got all these things, and listen, they're the fundamentals of the faith. We must agree on these things, but there's a lot of things in the Bible that are still controversial. And you'd come and you'd say, well, I'm not sure if I see it that way or that way. Well, what do I do with those kinds of things? And so that's what I want to answer this morning and walk right down through them. Number one, in dealing with these principles and dealing with the situation and the problem, I want to, number one, do right in spite of unbiblical criticism and opposition. I want to seek to do right in spite of unbiblical criticism or opposition. In verses 4 and 6, there were a group of individuals that were trying to deter the Apostle Paul from preaching the truth and winning Gentiles. They wanted to knock Paul off of his purpose and his preaching. But my friend, you and I must understand that while we follow the Scriptures, the majority of the people around this globe do not follow the Scriptures. And so when you and I go into something and we believe that we're created beings, people look at us like we have three eyeballs. Well, what do you mean you don't believe that you're the product of evolutionary processes? What are you, crazy? When I have the opportunity with the junior and senior high kids and I talk to them about creationism, I mean, me speaking to a group of 100 young people in today's climate and telling them that they are the product of a special designer, that is absolutely foreign to the vast majority of the world today. You just take for a moment, go on to the political realm today and put one of the presidential candidates up on the stage and ask them this question: how do you believe that man got here? Boy, it'd be interesting to see how they respond on that. When we tell people, or I hope you tell people this, when you say to someone, you know what, I believe that I'm the product of an intelligent designer. I'm a created being. I did not get here by chance. I did not get here by evolutionary processes. What? You're crazy. What I think is fascinating, we have one museum in our country, the Creation Museum, and the world is trying to shut it down. Oh, they hate that museum. They cannot stand that museum, and they do everything that they can to shut it down. We have hundreds and hundreds of museums that feed all kinds of stuff about millions and millions and billions of years. We have one museum that tells the truth, and they're trying to close that one down. We have been blessed with the truth, but we've got to know that the world around us, the world in the workplace, the world that's in our places of commerce and things like this, when we stand up and say salvation is by grace through faith alone, that, my friend, is a narrow way. That's not happening in the vast majority of man-made religion or in any of man-made religion. It's not happening in their thinking where they understand, yes, Jesus Christ died for my sins and Jesus is the only way to heaven. In spite of unbiblical criticism and opposition, I need to take my stand for the Lord Jesus Christ. I think of Nehemiah, who was there on the wall and he was so busy, and there were others that came along and made fun of him, and they began to say all manner of things against him. They attacked him. Then finally they said, hey, come on down here and let's just have a powwow. Let's have a meet. And he said, listen, I'm too into doing God's work to be with your foolishness. And so we must be vigilant. I want to help others that want to actually know the truth, but I'm not going to answer a fool in his folly. I want to help the young person that really wants to know the truth. I want to tell them, this is the way, walk ye in it. But I tell you what, there's an awful lot of scoffers out there. There's an awful lot of foolishness that's out there. And we must do right in spite of that. We have a threefold purpose here at FBT. We want to exalt the Lord, we want to evangelize the lost, and we want to edify the learner. And everything that we do should fit within those confines. We have activities, and we have programs, and we have musical things, and we have preaching, and revivals, and missions conferences. And all of them should be focused in on one or more of those aspects. And we should not be moved from it. By God's grace, we want to do right until the Lord Jesus Christ calls us home. The Apostle Paul had all these distractors, but he said, I'm going to maintain my focus in reaching the world for Jesus Christ. Number two, as we consider this area of controversy and solving the problem, here's the second one. First of all, we want to do right in spite of unbiblical criticism or opposition. Number two, there's great safety inside a multitude of godly counselors. There's great safety inside a multitude of godly counselors. I have been blessed with a great number of counselors here in our ministry. And it's not a threat to me. It's a great help to me. Sometimes those counselors are younger than me, and I can learn from them. One of the blessings of maintaining the connection to your children once they're out of your house is that I'm now learning from my sons. Okay, so I taught them how to ride a bike, or I taught them how to roller skate, or I taught them how to ice skate, or I taught them how to bowl. But now they're coming back and they're saying, hey, Dad, let us show you how to do this. And you can at times teach an old dog new tricks, all right? And so they are watching things and learning things, and they're coming back and teaching me. And I'm thankful for that. You are blessed with a multitude of counselors. When we go into arenas where we need help and counsel and making a decision, and we are afraid of counselors, it tells you much about the decision you're getting ready to make. Oh, I don't want to let my parents know about this. If I tell my parents about this, they won't let me do it. That ought to be a telltale sign. Oh, I don't want my youth pastor to find out I'm about to do this. If he finds out, he'll try to tell me I shouldn't do it. That ought to be a telltale sign. I want a group of individuals around me that will tell me the truth, that will allow for free course, that will allow for the truth to be shared, that will go back and forth. And there is great safety in a multitude of godly counselors. Proverbs 11:14, where no counsel is, the people fall. Proverbs 15:22, without counsel, purposes are disappointed. Paul went to the very men that had walked with Jesus and talked with Jesus. They'd been there while Jesus was crucified. They'd been there and seen the empty tomb. They've seen the ascension of the Lord Jesus. Who else is he going to seek out on this important matter? And so, folks, look for that safety net, that group of counselors. If you're making a life's choice, a life's decision, find that group and listen to that sage advice. Carson and I, in that recent trip to Peru, had the opportunity to sit at the feet of a missionary that had been on the field for 40 years plus, because he'd grown up on the mission field and then replaced his dad in so many of the churches that they had started there in Peru. And it was amazing to just sit and listen in the car to what he had to share. Brother John Tripp and I, on our trip to Albania, had hours in the car with David Hasifluk. David's been in Albania since 1992. And as a pastor, to sit in a car and listen to a missionary talk about deputation and furlough and talk about the demands on his family and talk about the trials and difficulties that are there in adoption and helping with those that are in dire straits in the country, not just spiritually, but physically, and just sitting and listening. Well, I tell you what, he had a ton of wisdom. And it's a shame when we are so busy running our mouths that we don't open our ears and listen to counsel that is actually meant to keep us from danger. And the Apostle Paul didn't go into this matter saying, listen, I'm the one personally trained by Jesus Christ in the wilderness, and I've got this education, and I've got this knowledge, and so I'm the one that's going to be speaking at all of this meeting, and I'm going to let everybody know thus and so. Boy, he went in and said, we need all these people to be able to see the matter. The unbelievers were coming against them, and they sought to do right. They sought out a multitude of counselors. Number three, this is critical for all of us. Verses 11 through 14 detail for us a matter that was very difficult for Peter to overcome. Verses 11 through 14 deal with the prejudice that was in Peter's heart. Again, it's not my time here this morning, but if you go back to Acts chapter number 10, you can see in Acts chapter number 10, the Apostle Peter is wrestling over the matter of the gospel going to the Gentiles. And a Gentile is going to come to him, a Gentile who needs Christ, a Gentile by the name of Cornelius is going to come to Peter. And according to chapter 10 of the book of Acts, Peter was not inclined to give him the gospel. But God met with Peter and preached at Peter and dealt with Peter and addressed the matter of the prejudice in Peter's heart. And now the Apostle Paul goes to this very matter in Acts chapter 2, or in Galatians chapter 2, and says, look, Peter at one time had this exact same kind of prejudice. He would be over here fellowshipping with Gentiles and enjoying the time with Gentiles, And then he'd hear from someone that a Jewish man had walked in their building, and so he would immediately distance himself from the Gentile and then come over here and act all Judaic. And the Apostle Peter, or the Apostle Paul says, under the inspiration of God, says, listen, that was not right. Do you know what is a shame? It is a shame that in our Christian world today that there are still Christians that will not give the gospel out to someone from a different culture. They will not give the gospel out because they're from a different color. They will not give the gospel to those people because they're of a different mindset or trend or whatever. And I say to all of us, as born-again, Bible-believing Christians, we are all of the human race. And whether you like this or not, you're actually all related to Noah. You say, well, I never thought of it that way, Pastor. Well, there's only 8 people left on the globe. Mom and Dad had 3 boys. 3 boys had 3 wives. They each had 1 wife. 3 boys, each of them have 1 wife, 3 wives. And you all came from Ham, Shem, or Japheth. You did. And it is a shame in the world today that there is prejudice. And by the way, can I just say this? It is not only in the United States of America, there is prejudice around the world. If you think to yourself, well, I'm going to get out of America because America is a racist country, travel with me around the globe and I'll show you how many different times and how many different ways that believers have to overcome their prejudice to reach other people in their nation. Because it is a worldwide problem. Why is that? Because it is a mankind problem. Why is that? Because it is a sin problem. Oh, I'm not going to go knock on that door. I don't want to give the gospel to those people. Well, I tell you what. I'm so thankful that Jesus Christ died for the sins of the whole world. Oh, I have a shade of skin that's different than maybe the shade of your skin, but I tell you what, Jesus Christ died for you just like he died for me. And it is a wonderful experience to be able to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature and tell them, Jesus died for you. Tragically, so much has taken place because of the evolutionary mindset. Tragically, so much has taken place because of racial issues. And yet we as believers should rise above all of that and say, your main issue is not overcoming the racial issues. Your main issue is that you meet Jesus Christ as your Savior. Years ago, we supported, and I thought this was one of the toughest challenges that are out there. We supported a gentleman, a dear man. He was an Arabic man living in the West Bank. He was not a Jew, but he is an Arabic man living in the West Bank. And he started a fundamental Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church in the West Bank, reaching the Arab people for the Lord Jesus Christ and going to those Arab people and saying to them, you need what this Jew has to offer. Wow. I'll never forget when he first presented and I went up to him and his first name was Emil. And I said to him, I said, Brother Emil, I cannot imagine your position. Not only in the Arabic world, not only in a difficult part of the Arabic world, but you're going into the Arabic world and you're telling those people that except they repent and trust Jesus Christ, they shall all likewise perish. And I just tell you, I mean, that struck me, and it moved me. And I just thought to myself, you know what? Everyone on this planet needs Jesus Christ. And I'm so thankful that Jesus died for the sins of the whole world. In this passage, Peter was rebuked by the Apostle Paul. Why was he rebuked? I'll tell you why he was rebuked. He was rebuked because Paul had taken a mission trip and had seen the world. Peter had an understanding of Jerusalem. Peter had an understanding there in Israel. But Paul's gone out to some of the regions beyond. He says, listen, these Gentiles need the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we must be, as believers, willing to take the gospel because they stand in need of that. Number 4, quickly, if you're not careful, anyone can be led away. If you're not careful, my friend, anyone can be led away. You must be Bible-based. I wish that I could somehow implant in all of us the absolute understanding of the authentic peace that we have in our hands so that we'd be vigilant against the counterfeits. There are so many counterfeit religions, and boy, they just sound so good. They use some of the same terminology. They talk about grace. They talk about Jesus. Oh, they're so, it's so smooth. Same terminology. Everything just seems to line up perfectly. But the deeper you go, the further you find out that it is off by a number of degrees from what this book actually says. I cannot think to myself, I would never be deceived. Have you ever been deceived? You bought a car that was supposed to be the best thing going, and you were deceived. My mom, one Saturday on a yard sale, she thought this was fantastic. I was a kid living here in Burke. She thought it was fantastic. The place had a pool table for sale. And so she's like, oh boy, the boys are going to have a lot of fun with this. We had a ping pong table. Oh, the boys will have a lot of fun with this. Here's the problem. The slate on the pool table was slanted, but you couldn't tell it unless you rolled a ball across it. When you roll the ball across it, everything went into the same hole. So no matter where you hit, no matter where you hit the cue ball, no matter where you hit the other pool balls, we're going in there. Now, it'd be great if you were going to bet and challenge someone. I'm just kidding. Mom got it home. We set it up. You know what she did? She had a yard sale the next Saturday and sold it to somebody else. So we had it for all of 1 week. You ever been deceived? Yeah, I've been deceived at times. I've been deceived. You've been deceived. I don't want any of us to think that we're above deception because, boy, I tell you, Satan is so smooth. And we often think in terms of the horns and the pitchfork and the red suit. No, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, or 2 Corinthians chapter 11, he's transformed himself into an angel of light. We must be vigilant. Barnabas was even led away by this. Barnabas had seen what God had done on the foreign field and how Gentiles had been converted. And yet even Barnabas, it says there in verse number 13, was carried away with their dissimulation. Barnabas, you know better than this. And they were carried away by the dissimulation. And then number 5, and I think this is appropriate for us to close the message with, as we think of these things, when this controversy arises, I want to do right in spite of the unbiblical criticism and opposition. When someone doesn't believe in the deity of Christ, when someone doesn't believe in the virgin birth of Jesus Christ, when someone doesn't believe in the inspiration of the Bible, listen, you can criticize me till you're blue in the face, and it's not going to move me one iota. I want to stand upon this completed canon of Scripture. I want to surround myself with a multitude of counselors. I want to be careful that I don't have my ears closed and my mouth running, that I don't hear exactly what God wants me to hear. Prejudice and partiality have no place in the life of the believer. We ought to desire to share the gospel with everyone and take the Bible everywhere and show them the good news of Jesus Christ. Be careful, though, because even those of us sitting here in this room right now, we could be led away if we're not following what the Bible says. Number 5, be thankful for the gospel spread to the Gentiles. Aren't you glad that God, in His mercy, said, you know what, I'm going to give the Gentiles the Word of God, the truth. God had used Peter to carry the gospel to the Jews. Jesus Christ came unto His own, but His own received Him not. And therefore, missionaries were sent out. That first missionary force went so far as the European continent. The gospel comes from the European continent over to our shores. Now the gospel is going from our shores even back to the nation of Israel. But I say this as a Gentile, I'm glad the gospel was available to me. Do you know Jesus Christ? We had controversy. Galatians chapter 2, Acts chapter 15. How are we going to solve the controversy? Well, we're going to get together these individuals that walked with the Lord. We're going to seek their counsel. We're going to listen to the missionaries that have gone out into these regions beyond, and we're going to hear personal testimony. We're going to hear testimony from Titus and how he's been born again and how the Holy Spirit has been given to these Gentiles. And boy, if I'll just close my mouth and listen, I'll see what God is doing around the globe. And I can say to you today that from just about every continent on this land, FBT has a footprint, a fingerprint on missionaries that have been sent forth, and they're reaching people with the gospel. You and I must know our Bible, that we not be led away. It's why I challenge you here at FBT to always have your Bible or some format of the Bible, because you test everything that is said from this pulpit by the book. If an individual goes away from the book, we don't hold them up on such a pedestal that we say, well, I don't care what their doctrine is, I'm going to listen to them anyway. No, if they ever leave the institution of this book, we say, I'm done. Because this is the rule of faith and practice. And we must be vigilant. Now, my friend, if you've not yet met the Lord Jesus Christ, then that's our ultimate desire. Our ultimate desire is for you to hear the saving truth of Jesus Christ. Jesus came into this world that he might save sinners. And today you can be saved by grace through faith. And that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast.